Why are you such a dick?
I'm glad you're a dick. That makes me more comfortable. Dicks make me feel a lot more comfortable. I said that.
You feel so much more comfortable.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
Now, Regan, we are happy campers to be talking about what today?
We have three topics today. Topic number one is, what is your favorite music from a video game or a video game series? Topic number two is, give an example of you at your filthiest. Interpret that as you may. And topic number three is, what restaurant is the biggest temptation to you when you are trying to eat healthy?
When you're trying to eat healthy, I think, when do I do that?
I don't understand that, yeah.
So, we are pleased as punch to have our first phone interview with someone in a completely different state.
Wow, the technology.
Not just state of mind, but a continental state in the U.S. We have Don Thacker, designer, writer, and director of upcoming game Star Mazer, and Austin Montville of the New Hampshire Montvilles, the game developer of Star Mazer. Guys, how are y'all doing?
Fantastic. Yeah, totally. And today's like the best day to ask that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And why is that, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Because we just hit our Kickstarter campaign goal of $160,000. We left that in the dust. It's gone.
Yeah, congratulations. Awesome, awesome.
Now, I saw some guy get like $1 million for making potato salad. And you guys got 60 for developing a video game.
160.
I'm sorry. Are you guys planning on adding potato salad to the game so you can get more money?
Our game is pizza based.
Got it. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about
party pizza party.
Now, I'm really excited about the game. Now, Jess is our resident gamer, and you know, I game very, very minimally. But when I saw the Kickstarter page and I saw the preview of the game, it's the type of game that I like to play. Do you guys want to describe it for our listeners?
Yeah, Star Mazer is a retro 60 point click adventure game brought to you by the. It's a cool game, guys. Go check it out.
Yeah, it's a damn cool game. Yes,
it's a 38-second video. It'll blow your mind up. For the first 20 seconds will blow your whole mind, and you'll spend 18 seconds just wondering how the hell to get your hands on it. And the best way for the next 39 hours is to go to Kickstarter.com and look at us for Star Mazer. Two R's, S-T-A-R-R, Mazer. Sorry, I'm not plugging it, except I'm totally plugging it. You should go check it out.
Yeah.
But it's a point-click adventure game, so it's something on the order of a LucasArts / Sierra game, only updated and not poop. it's a horizontal scrolling shooter game on the order of like an R-Type or a Gradius or any of those, only updated and also not poop. So those things mixed together make one complete unit with all kinds of cool rigging and stuff. Man, I've been answering this question for 32 days.
Yeah.
I would like Austin to take a shot at it as well.
Well, you know what, man? Fuck it. We'll have people go. It sounds amazing. I'm not like a hardcore gamer, but the thing that I thought was it looked like a mix of Captain Skyhawk and Contra.
Dude, Captain Skyhawk, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Captain Skyhawk, though. That's what I thought when I heard it.
The Contra elements are minimal. Contra is like pure action. This is more story-based, but it is action-y. So
action-y,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Action-y.
Where do I play this?
It's still in development.
Oh, okay.
You travel to the future using a time machine you made in your mom's bathtub.
Not it's a hot tub, a
no,
bathtub.
But like, is this for is it for a system, or I'm totally out of the loop here?
Currently, we're developing for PC, Mac, and Linux. Our first set of stretch goals are for consoles. So if we hit those stretch goals on the Kickstarter, we'll be able to go to consoles, iOS, mobile, handhelds, everything. Ooh. We want to get Star Mazer on everything, and to do that, we need people to pledge.
My question was, were you guys planning to leave open a PayPal account to where people could continuously pledge?
Yeah, StarMazer.com. So by the time this is out, StarMazer.com will have PayPal stuff all over it. So
excellent.
It's actually going to probably be, I don't know, we're working on how we're going to do it. It's going to be somebody. You're going to be able to go on the site and put in a credit card or use a PayPal or use an existing account. You get it.
Yeah.
We're going to money internets all over the internets. And we're going to money games and games money it. It's going to be the best.
I love it.
Nice.
Now, it looked very familiar, and for people that have listened to the podcast before, is it the game that is from one of my favorite films, Motivational Growth?
No! Wow! I love you.
Yeah. We love you.
A man loves another man.
That's right.
I would like to carry your children in my mouth.
Well, it's sink or swim with those guys, you know, so they're going to happen anyway.
That's good. No, it absolutely is. So here's the trick. Here's a story. It's not exclusive, but it hasn't been told much. I was making Motivational Growth, and we had multiple vignettes. You guys have probably talked about Motivational Growth, right?
Absolutely.
Many times.
You know, Ian travels into the television a bunch, yep. right? He goes into those weird TV shows. Mm-hmm. One of those TV shows was called El demonio que hace trofeos de los hombres. It was going to be like a Mexican melodrama, like a Telemundo telenovela thing.
Right.
It's going to be awesome, and there's going to be tits in it, and it's going to be wonderful.
Well, it's a telenovela. There's got to be tits in it.
Yeah, of course. The whole point. You know the part in Motivational Growth where he's sucking on the wall nipple and then he appears?
Yeah, yeah. I was jerking off that part.
That was going to be a real toot. But it turns out I was also working on this idea for Star Mazer since I was like 9, and
no,
I was
kind
of not loving the like the tit part was great, but beyond that, El demonio que hace trofeos de los hombres didn't really carry much. It didn't really inspire me. Officer Zygor, Alien Cop.
Yeah,
I want to read that show. I love that thing. All the other ones, the Downward Facing Dog and the Hip Hop Yoga.
Def Jam Yoga. Yeah.
Kathy Brethnar and the Tough as Nails Tiger Team A exercise group. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. I'd love to write those. But I wasn't feeling El Demonio, and I had a chunk of money set aside for it. I didn't know what to do, so I stole it. I mean, it was technically my money.
Got it.
But it was money. I was like, I'm going to make some Star Mazer. And then I went to the producer, and the producer was like, dude, you can't just fucking, that's the money for the movie. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. We're going to put Star Mazer in the movie.
Fucking A, dude.
Brilliant.
And it was great. And then we used the same animation technique for a bunch of other parts of the film, and it all went over really well, and everybody likes it. And holy crap, I got away with something. But that's been sitting there, and I was eventually going to release it, like, for our Kickstarter. But the animator, Jeremy Tarrant, a very, 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 very talented guy, an incredible dude, he wanted it for his reel, which, of course, he should because it's the animated bits are fucking incredible. He messaged me like 90 times while I was flying around the United States and elsewhere promoting Motivational Growth during the festival circuit. And I, like the slacker I am, just kind of put it in my like will respond to at some convenient date folder, which is the worst, and it's my fault. And so he just put it in his reel, which then like lit the internet on fire like 2 years ago. People were like, oh, my God, look at this fake video game by this awesome animator.
Yes.
And like no attribution to me, no Motivational Growth, no nothing. And my heart just like fell through my feet because that's my game.
Yeah.
It's being attributed to a dude. Now, granted, he did work for money and did an incredible job and followed the designs we came up with and worked his ass off. And he had a team of people and came up with this really cool video that went into the movie. But that was for the game that we did that, you know?
Right.
And to have it be like Jeremy Perrin made a fake video game commercial was harsh. Because technically, yes, he along with a bunch of other people, people did music and sound effects and wrote it and storyboarded and all the other shit that he didn't actually do, even though, again, I am not in any way deriding his work. His work's
amazing. Sure. Yes, of course.
That wasn't his thing. That was something that I had commissioned by artists, you know?
Right.
And so I had to fight that. And I was hoping we could launch this. I was supposed to like sit on it until the Kickstarter and then blow everybody's minds. We lost a bunch of that like flow because people had already
The hype kind of fell a little bit.
It did. But here's the trick. And this is the best thing. What I was afraid was, oh my God, this game's fake. Like,
right.
I think I read 4 or 5 out of like hundreds of thousands of comments that were like, oh my God, actually, guys, this game's fake. I read that, but almost everything else is, holy shit, I've been waiting for this game for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
So we accidentally did like a pre-game super promo with this leak. I wish I could be like, oh yes, it was totally intentional. We're brilliant. But that's not what happened.
Nice.
It was a complete accident. So yeah, that was Emotional Growth. You called that out, and that's the thing.
Yeah, man. Like when we saw, just to kind of transition to Motivational Growth, it actually screened at the South Texas Underground Film Festival. Stuff.
Hell yeah. We won some awards there.
Yeah, with our film Blood Cousins. And so we went there because we're Texas guys, and we're like, okay, let's check out the film festival. And I believe your film was before ours. So we're like, you know what? Let's
watch this crap.
No, oh, man, we saw some crap. I'm not going to lie. You know, there are some beautiful short films, and there is some crap. And so then when Motivational Growth started, we read the synopsis. We saw who was the voice of the mold from Reanimator.
Jeffrey Combs.
God damn it. And so we're like, holy shit. Okay, this is going to be awesome. And off the bat, we were just floored by
us
it.
Us three guys and like the people who survived the movie.
that survived the festival.
The festival. That was going concurrent with an anime festival, which was a huge smash.
Yeah, dude. There was furries all over the fucking place. It was like,
I think there's a dude dressed as a barbarian in the audience.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. They came in to watch it. So that's, you know, the fan base you want for a film like Motivational Growth. So then when the video game aspect was there, when he's flipping through the stations and you get the MIDI music and you get the 8-bit art and stuff like that, it couldn't have been screened at a better place full of dorks that are not just film dorks, not just video game dorks, not just anime dorks. It hit all of those key points, and I was like, where can I buy a shirt? Where can I meet this filmmaker? Fast forward 2 years later, we're here on Skype sexting each other, and yeah. We're fucking really excited for Star Mazer, man.
Thank you. That's incredible.
That's awesome.
It's really awesome. And I'm super happy that movie touched you guys. That's the best. I made that movie specifically for touching dorks.
Yeah, yeah. That's you know what? It's better.
That was a double entendre, dudes.
I know. Yeah. I totally got it, bro.
Considering I touched my dork.
Real quick, have you ever thought about turning Motivational Growth into a play, like a stage play?
Everyone, I've asked that. I won't. I will never do that. If somebody else does, I will fully support it. But I can't. I'm not going to do it. I make movies. I make movies and games.
Oh, absolutely. No, I have a theater background. And when I was watching it, I was like, man, I would love to do this on stage. Like, this would kill. Like, it would be awesome. So I was just wondering if...
I agree. And if somebody were to come to me with like, hey, man, we super want to like license the rights for your movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give you a part of the door. I would be, do it. That's the best because I'm super into that. And I own it outright, so I have that right.
Cool.
But no, it's I think it would totally work. And honestly, you are very inventive for having considered that, but there are many other inventive people who have also considered that same thing and come to me with it. So I think you're totally right. I think it would totally work as a theater piece. And I'd like to toot my horn a little tiny bit. I very rarely do this about Motivational Growth, but I honestly like – I think that might imply that it's a good story.
Yeah,
Story. It's.
Yeah. But that's as far as I'm going to go tooting.
Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it.
And like I said, made to touch dorks, and you had a hot chick wearing a dork's dirty shirt and panties, and like you can't get better than that.
Yeah.
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 My dork boner was full on because I was like, yes, a girl that likes a creepy dude.
Every once in a while, somebody's like, well, why not the tits though? I'm like, no, dude, you don't get it. Like, you don't see her tits. That's the point.
Yeah, that was a good call. This is a good judgment.
You never should see her tits. Like, that's a thing. I hate that sort of like objectification thing on the face of it, but I do know that in movies, that's like a thing. Like, shoot a guy to death. I'm not like about murder, but in a movie, you shoot a guy. Like, that's a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not justifying it or saying it's like supporting it or whatever. Specifically, Motivational Growth, I wanted you to see past like the, you got your nerd boner because she was a cool character, and that's what's
exactly.
Important.
Panties.
God damn it, Larry. So, Austin, at PAX South, I got to play sports ball. You were involved in that game, right?
I am. I co-founded a company, 2DX. You probably met Ned, the other half of 2DX, because he was down there at PAX South showing off that game.
Yes, and I'm a huge Nintendo Wii U fan, and I got to play it, and it was a blast because there was parties of four just giving it a try, and everyone really enjoyed it. There was a video promo. Did y'all guys team up for that in any way?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen that.
Yeah, so there's this little Vizio, Imagos Films or something like that. Huh. We decided to do them a favor and let them work on our game by making a trailer.
Oh, sounds like shit.
Yeah. No, that's how I met Don. For a friend. And it was amazing. Like, holy crap, the effort that they put through. Like, I was, they made sports ball real. They did things they didn't even like. They did things I didn't ask for, and they didn't tell me about until I saw the cut. And it was always the right decision. So it was very easy to. I am glad to be able to continue working with Don in a game form, because now I can bring something I actually know about to the team.
I don't know if your motivational growth could. That's a cool. Calling them gross.
Yeah
calling gross. Fans gross.
The molds, dude.
If your motivational growth fans could pick it out, but I definitely wrote that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
That language is my language. One of our Imagos films creative partners, Vanessa Williams, actually directed it. I wrote it and assistant directed it. And yeah, that's our thing. If you go to imagosfilms.com and look at our work, you'll see a bunch of recent work. Not all of it, but a bunch of it. I'm not allowed to post all of it yet, since not all of it's been like released with games and stuff. But between movies, which, by the way, we're in post-production on another feature film right now. But between movies, we do video game work. So video game commercials or whatever, because I'm in that industry and it's easy and not necessarily it's easy to intersect with those people most, and I'm not going to do a fucking Clorox commercial or whatever.
Why the fuck not, dude?
because, oh, okay, oh, we'll peel back the onion layers, because my first corporate job as a video producer was for Clorox. It went well.
Did you use the term white power?
No. Wow.
I would, if I was doing a bleach commercial. Yeah.
Whitening power.
It was an interesting experience. They were really great, but the topic and subject matter and like amount of work that went into effectively like showing some soap was where I wanted to put my creative juices. So we actually don't advertise normally. We just work with devs and indie devs, and you know, we do Adult Swim's video content for their video games and stuff like that. So
speaking of creative juices, what are you guys, when it comes to the Star Mazer game, what are you both most proud of creatively about the game, whether it's a storyline, a character, an action sequence, or just what are you guys most proud of individually?
Austin, you want to start?
Yeah, I'm excited for a narrative system that Don has been designing for a few years to lay the groundwork for that we're actually going to be able to implement into Star Mazer. It's the OMG, the open middle gameplay. So the way that this works, basically, I can talk about the implementation, but we'll just talk about the cool section of it. Imagine watching a season of your favorite TV show, and then you watch it again, but you watch the episodes in a different order, and because they happen in a different order, those change sort of the way the world works and how everything affects each other, and it changes the outcome of the story along the way.
Oh, wow.
We're doing that in Star Mazer.
Is it like a choose-your-own-adventure-y sort of thing where it will change on sort of what you decide to do?
It is far more cool than that, because choose your own adventure is a very simple thing where you pick a choice, then you go to like a page in a book, right? This is, we're recording everything that you're doing in the world, and characters have their own worldviews.
Wow.
And they react to things based on what they care about and what they hear. It's interesting because it's actually a very simple way to solve the problem. Instead of making this crazy in-depth AI that like, you know, manages the state of the world and connections between everything. No. Characters just, if they've heard about something, they either care about it or don't, and then we write some extra content for it.
Nice.
So it requires a lot of work, but it makes it so that sort of narrative system is actually feasibly possible. The closest example of it that's been done in a game so far is Shadow of Mordor, which was a really cool game that came out this year that did an interesting dialogue thing with their Nemesis system. We're basically doing the next level of that. So even though it's like a retro-inspired game that like feels like the sort of games that you played as a kid,
right. We're
doing stuff that hasn't been done yet in games, at least not effectively. That's my like huge inspiration, huge excitement about the project. It's not just making something that I remember playing. It's actually making something that couldn't have existed 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I was reading about it. I was really interested in that. That's something that I want to see how it works out. Like, I would really like to play the game just to see how that actually plays out. Yeah. It's very interesting.
And what I fucking love about it is that you actually implement that not just during the point and click portions of the game, but during the old school shooter scenes, from what I've seen. Is that something that's going to happen often in the game?
Yeah, so basically, like, the thing to try to think about when you're thinking about Star Mazer is it's not like you're playing your shmup and then you're playing your point and click adventure as like these two separate things. No, you're playing Star Mazer, and sometimes you're flying in the Star Wolf, and sometimes you're not. Either way, you do all the things that Brick M. Stonewood would do.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Who's the hero of the game?
Yeah, M stands for metal.
Hell yeah.
So I think my answer has changed in the last 2 days. My original answer was I'm proudest of or most excited about we had to crack the story of Star Mazer, right? I'm a storyteller, so I make movies and I make games and any way to tell really great stories. But cracking the story is always your first step in telling the story. So when somebody tells you, like, I got a story, and you're like, what's it about? I'm like, well, it's about an alien comes to Earth and meets the president. It's like, cool, but what's the actual story? Like, what are you actually saying with that? Those are just events, you know? You need to crack the actual story. For Starmazer, having a cool dude in a jet, like, flying around the universe doing cool stuff, and that's a cool thing. But that's not a story. But stuff happens to him. Well, stuff happening to somebody also isn't a story. You need to crack the meaning, the subtext in your story to make it an actual story. Motivational Growth is a story about lethargy and depression. Mm-hmm, it's a dark fucking story, right? Mm-hmm. It's a story about suicide. It's a story that I had to plumb the depths of my, like, darkest places to kind of get out. But I did so in a funny as shit way, in a way that's super weird and super awkward, so that I'm hiding the fact that I'm mostly saying, hey, guess what? If you don't get the fuck up and do what you want to do, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I was. Motivation Growth was the film I made directly after spending 12 years programming computers and feeling like shit for my whole life. And for that period of time, at least, I gained all this weight and I was depressed and I wanted to die. So I made a movie about maybe getting the fuck up and doing what you want to do. Follow that girl or follow that dream, whatever the dream is. In my movie, I make it a girl because it's super simple for dudes to, like, get that. Mm-hmm. Motivational Growth has deep subtext. But, or it could just be the movie where the guy talks to the fucking shit in the corner and it tries to eat the girl next door. That's funny too, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Yeah, it was wonderful.
But it has to have the rigging. The shirt won't stand alone. It needs a hanger. If that's the dumbest analogy I've ever said. And there you go. Starmazer, I had to crack the story. And Starmazer is a story about what it means to be a hero. Brick M. Stonewood is a man 130 years out of his own time. He's the hero of the Great War. He comes from a world where aliens and human beings use different restrooms. He comes from a totally different time. Carries a gun. He's a blonde hair, blue-eyed fucking badass. And that's what makes him good.
He loves bleach. He loves bleach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's a freaking, like, a white hero type. The kind you saw in every single 80s action movie and every single 80s commercial or whatever, you know? The stuff that I grew up with. You get to a point, though, where you realize the world that doesn't really operate that way. Like, being white and, like, having a gun doesn't make you the cool guy. It might not even make you the hero. You know what I'm saying? Like, the world is much more worldly than that. And I think cracking the idea that we could make a game where the hero, just if you look at the poster, oh, yeah, that's a hero.
Yeah.
Thinks mm-hmm. minority of the population on Earth. No Chinese person looks at that and says, yep, that's what I think a hero looks like. That definitely looks like what an American thinks a hero looks like, right? Definitely looks like what an American 35 years old definitely thinks that dude looks like a hero. Because he is a hero of the Great War. He did this great thing. But that's all over. It's 130 years later. Nobody cares. Or humanity's almost gone. And he has to deal with the fact that by, like, walking into a room, having like his hair done up with some pomade, having a pack of smokes and a pistol doesn't make him the hero. He's got to find out what does. And it might not be that he is enough. He might have to, like, interface with other people and learn and grow and, like, actually see heroism. Now, all this is hidden, just like Motivational Growth about a guy who wants to die, right? Yeah. It's all hidden under action and fun and adventure and all that. But cracking that story, finding out that beyond that hero thing, maybe being a hero requires the help of other people. Maybe becoming a hero requires, like, respecting people you wouldn't respect normally, or, like, using your innate built-in prowess against your type or something. Just all this sort of subtext is in there. Cracking that, I'm skirting around something. Like, I could just tell you the core, but there's a lot more to being a hero than being an 80s action star kind of guy. So I liked that. That's a cool thing to have cracked. I'm excited about that. But the truth is, that's what I would have said before the last 24 hours, last 48 hours. Last 48 hours, I found I'm most excited about the engagement of our fans. Right now, we have 4,445 people who put their hard-earned money into buying a game that doesn't exist. These people are incredible. We've been running a thing called Starmazer TV every day during our Kickstarter campaign. If you go to starmazer.tv, it'll bring you to our Twitch stream. We've been doing it every single day. Tomorrow, is going to be after this podcast, but our tomorrow in the past is going to be a 24-hour live stream where we try to get the last bits of money we can to get our stretch goals out of the Kickstarter. We know that a bunch of people are already going to be there. We've got fans that have followed us around and made memes and sent us pizzas and, like, we have
pizzas.
Yeah, we got pizza delivered for like 11 days in a row.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. We have people sent us horchata in the mail. We got 10 gallons of
horchata. Fucking hey,
that's gross, man. Fuck those people for doing that.
So we know what we're doing is affecting people.
Yeah,
it's affecting people to a degree. 4,446 people have confidence in us. That's exciting. That's incredible.
That is.
Cracking the story.
So all of our listeners right here, you may not have a chance to donate to the Kickstarter. We're definitely going to use our social media to do that within the next 38 hours. But if you're listening to this podcast, guys, you want this game. Obviously, it's something that interests you, whether you're a leisurely gamer or a hardcore gamer, but we need this game to come out. It's something that you need to experience yourself to even explain. Where can they go to donate to the PayPal?
Starmazer.com. That's StarMazer.com. Two R's, man, because like other Star games only have the one R. We're bringing it to two.
Boom! Yeah. Jump an R game.
Got an extra R for a double dose of this pimping.
Yeah. So StarMazer.com, and they can find all kinds of stuff. We have a dev blog that's updated at least 8 times a day, and then you'll get all your kind of like Twitch stream TV schedules and all the good stuff. That's great.
All the good stuff. Thank you guys so much. We're gonna start on our first topic. We're really excited to have you guys on here because obviously we're like-minded people, and I think this is going to be a really fun podcast. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. We're going to get started.
And also congrats on just hitting the Kickstarter goal.
Oh, big time.
That's just fucking great. I'm one of the backers, and I'm excited.
I'm not shitting you. My left eye is like twitching just by default. It's just constantly twitching. I don't know why, but I love it.
No, that's awesome. And selfishly, I was hoping you wouldn't meet the goal until we started this so that I could be the person to like donate to like set it over the goal, but since you already met the goal, I'm not giving you any money.
Jesus.
No, I gave money, guys.
No, I'm actually interested in the stretch goal that you're talking about.
Yeah, we've got our first stretch goal is 25 additional musicians added to our list. They're famous people, man. Yeah, look at the list. We've got Arcade High, Bright Primate, C. Jeff, Sheep Dinosaurs, C-Trix, Danimal Cannon, Eric Cerkey, Fighter X, Jacob Purnell, John Robert Matz, La Cassette, L Power, Makeup and Vanity Set, Manami Matsumai, which you'll remember from UN Squadron and I don't know, Mega Man.
Yeah.
Miles Tillman from Pixel Jam, Monomer, Nickel Punk, who's awesome, Pong Ball, Raleigh Mingwald, an incredible like 80s like retro band, Ryan Ike, Saber Pulse, Vert Kaufman, Jake Kaufman from Shovel Knight, he's doing bits.
Fuck yeah.
Wave Shaper.
KJ Yamagishi
from Ninja Gaiden. Oh my god!
Yeah,
I'm from Detroit, so we're like gating it up.
Ninja Gaiden.
And also, crowning achievement: Vince DiCola, the original composer for Transformers the movie, along with along with his partner Kenny, are all his artistic partner Kenny are all they're joining on as well. This only happens if we hit our first stretch goal, the music stretch goal, which by the way is only $12,000 away, which is less money than we made yesterday.
I will be donating to that stretch goal then.
Yeah, to hit it. Yeah. And I'm sorry, Don, did you say Nickelback?
No, Nickel Punk.
Oh, okay, so not Nickelback.
Larry's out.
I would be fearful. I'm sorry. I don't know what your musical interests are, but if we had Nickelback, I'm afraid we would be losing money.
So, guys,
this is not the opinion of this podcast. Only the opinion of Don Thacker.
No, well, the thing about this podcast, Don, is that we're on a Nickelback fan forum.
We're not on a Nickel. No, we're not. We are not on a Nickelback fan forum at all, whatsoever.
Good.
No,
that would be the worst.
We're really big, huge Nickelback fans. And I think your video game would sell a lot more if it was Nickelback based. Could you have Chad?
Yeah. if he donates the your big goals and your $10,000 donation, he gets to like write a scenario, isn't that right?
It's already gone. Not gonna happen.
Oh, fuck off, Chad. You're not gonna get that goal there.
We also have console stretch goals, guys, and we also have some unannounced stretch goals that we're gonna announce if we get far into stretch goals. But yeah, no. Back us. We'll give you good stuff.
Fuck yeah. So do it.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking A. So thanks for joining, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get started on our first topic. And so I'm really glad you brought up the first stretch goal, which happened to do with music. So Jess, what's our first topic today?
I have a segment called Yeah, and we'll look into that. A topic where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners would be Yeah, and we'll look into that. So obviously this week's topic, obviously Star Mazer, and just like you mentioned, Star Mazer, that first stretch goal is having this lineup of amazing video game artists that you mentioned. And since we've talked about it in full detail, let's just jump right into the first topic. And this is something that, amazingly, we've never asked before in the show. And it is, what's your favorite music from a video game or video game series? 30 years of gaming, and it's hard to kind of narrow it down to one. But I'll kick it off and say that the top music of all time for a video game is the original Strider arcade game.
Wow.
And to me, it's still unparalleled because the game, it's an arcade game. It's five stages, and the game runs about 15 to 20 minutes tops, and there's over 20 pieces of unique music composition in this game. This game is still one of the only few games to, like, have a mood and motif, like, ever so changing. Like, it just, the music's constantly evolving. To this day, no game has really ever kind of felt that kind of rush. Like, it was the first game I played that actually felt like cinematic just through music alone, and to this day is still one of my favorite several pieces of music. They did a reboot of the game, and they did a pretty good job of taking that music and remastering or rebooting of it, and it was pretty decent, but it didn't come close to like keeping that ever-changing mood, which no game to this date does, in my opinion. And like just right up there out of all the crap that I've played over the years. And so yeah, that is my favorite. Larry,
again, I was a decent gamer as a kid, and when I was about 10 years old, I had the choice, and I could only choose one between a Super Nintendo and a Genesis, and I had the original Nintendo. So the way that I saw it, let me go out of the box and get Genesis. So I got a Sega Genesis. All my other friends had the Super NES, and I got the Sega Genesis with Streets of Rage 2, that combo pack. I used to mute my games and listen to like Tool and Pearl Jam and shit like that.
Oh, while you're playing?
While I was playing.
Yeah.
So there's some Tool songs that I associate with like Streets of Rage, because that's what I had on repeat on tape, right? But the game that I wouldn't do that with, that I would actually listen to the music because it just added so much to the game and made me appreciate the game, was Eternal Champions.
yeah, the old set, the fighting game, right? It was a Mortal Kombat-esque game.
Yeah, where you played that fucking... My favorite character was the guy with the trench coat and the fedora.
Because he was a mobster?
But he did Praying Mantis style for whatever fucking reason. But the music was really dark, and it gave the game this, like, true life and death feeling at the time, you know, before Mortal Kombat and stuff, that like these guys are fighting for their lives, and this guy kind of looks like Blade a little bit. But you know, and the music was MIDI music. It felt scary. You could tell that they actually put a lot of time and effort into it, and it wasn't just a song on repeat. Like, it had like MIDI solos and stuff like that, so it was really cool. So my answer is Eternal Champions.
That's hilarious.
My answer, it's nostalgic, it's quick, it's gets my blood pumping to this day. It's for the regular Nintendo, it's Rad Racer. It goes. Oh my gosh, I love that song. Absolutely love that song. But it brings me back to playing video games with my brothers, just freaking driving fast. I will actually sometimes play it on my phone when I need to get somewhere quickly, because
there it is.
Yeah, that's my jam. That's my jam right there. Rad Racer. That's my answer.
That's awesome. That's good.
So Don, Austin.
Awesome. So if I have to pick the game, it's going to be Kingdom Hearts 2, but it's anything written by Yoko Shimomura. She's just an amazing composer, but really, really what it comes down to is she has this way that she writes these orchestral songs. I have like a certain beat to them. They've got these swelling strings. They're intense. It's like the final fight scene of everything ever is all that she's ever written, and she's the best at it. And just no matter what she's working on, whether it's Parasite Eve or Street Fighter 2 or Kingdom Hearts, like, she just makes the most badass tracks. You just feel like the entire weight of the world is on me, and I have to save everyone with this one sword strike. Like, she just has this way of writing music that's fantastic. So every time she releases anything, I'm just like, I want to play that game. The game could be trash, I don't even care. As long as that music is playing, I'll love it.
So Austin, what's your favorite music from a video game or video game series?
I said the Kingdom Hearts 2.
That was it. That was the answer.
Kingdom Hearts 2 is the actual answer. Because I can't answer Starmazer because we didn't hit that stretch goal.
Yeah, yet. No. The minute we hit that stretch goal, it's obviously Starmazer. No, it's not just because it's our game. Dude, this has never happened before.
That's a fucking lineup, man. Yeah,
no, what we're doing is not, it's unprecedented in history. And that needs to be like out there. It's incredible. So mine would have to be Mega Man, the original Mega Man.
Yeah. OG Mega Man.
I took my Nintendo apart and wired the Mega Man cart into it and carried it around with six AA batteries and used it like a Walkman to play Mega Man. I wired Mega Man into it.
Yes.
Manami Matsumai, the original composer and sound designer for Mega Man, changed my entire life. And I am prouder than anything in the world to know that she's going to be working on Starmazer.
That's amazing. And you got the video interview with her and everything. It's fucking incredible.
Yes, it's mind-blowing. It's baffling. We need to hit that stretch goal to do it, but I want it. An interesting note, second to that, since Austin took a secondary answer as well, my second favorite soundtrack of all time for any single video game is Shovel Knight.
Perfect.
So I'd like to point out that is done primarily by Jake Vert Kaufman and Manami Matsumai, both of whom are working on Starmazer.
That's awesome.
We hit that stretch goal. So, I don't know, man. Starmazer is the best.
Once it comes out, and if you hit that stretch goal, it's a contender for sure.
Yeah, we're all going to change our answers as well.
Especially with the recent announcement of the Ninja Gaiden composer. That's just, ugh. Amazing.
Yes, of course. I mean, that's an easy second is the Ninja Gaiden soundtrack. It's unbelievable.
Which actually, Yamagishi just released a new album.
Yes.
Now there's an extra 20 years of experience on top of that. It's just the album's crazy. It's all over the place. It's amazing. It's interesting.
Now, did you guys seek out all these people? Did anybody seek you out based on the Kickstarter and the media that you guys
had? So we had nine people. We had a group of nine. We thought nine would be best. Ten total musicians. Alex Maurer, who, by the way, is also one of my idols, who started Imago Softworks with me. A great friend of mine now after years of working with him. But when I met him, he was just an idol of mine. So 10 composers was our, like, limit. Yeah, max limit. And then we thought, well, what if we asked somebody else? And then it got to be, like, 20.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then people started asking. It was crazy. When somebody whose music you've listened to for 20 years asks if they can be part of your video game.
That's crazy, dude.
That's a moment in life, man. That's something that will never happen again. That's unbelievable. So, yeah.
Well, great. Congratulations, man. That's fucking badass. Well, what about online? What have they said on the Facebooks?
We're going to take some answers from our Facebook page. Ross Carter says it's got to be Ocarina of Time. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's
so good. Ryan Timothy Brace says Final Fantasy VII's main theme or Sephiroth theme.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Stone says I agree with Ross. So another vote for Ocarina of Time. Brandon Raylor says right now it's Dying Light, but in the past it's been Street Fighter. Stacy Medina says
Vegas theme, dude. That's the best.
Stacy Medina says Legend of Zelda theme. It isn't the best, but it's my all-time favorite game. Travis K says all the music from Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Its music helped solidify in gaming history just as much as anything else within the game. Tommy Munoz says Super Street Fighter 2 Guile's stage specifically.
Yeah, because everything goes with Guile's theme. Yeah.
Because everybody likes that one.
You can put it to anything.
John Flores says Still Alive and Want You Gone from the Portal series.
Portal games,
yeah. Also, anything from the Silent Hill series.
Oh man, talking to Yamaoka, freaking that guitar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gregory Pierce says the original Super Mario Brothers theme in any form takes me back to my childhood every time. Extra shout out to the short Duck Hunt theme that takes me back to bringing the laser pistol up to the screen and still missing the damn duck.
Yeah, that trick never works.
Justin Cooper says the Final Fantasy series, Earthbound and Streets of Rage all hold up pretty well. And the Kirby theme gets stuck in my head a lot.
Kirby's good.
James Wells says the Halo 2 soundtrack was amazing. They had popular acts like Incubus fill in with the original score, an amazing experience.
Did they have Nickelback?
No,
they didn't have Nickelback, but they did have Hoobastank.
Close enough.
True story. Yeah, Steve Vai played the guitar. Yeah, but Hoobastank's on that game.
Oh, check it out. Don, our listener, Alfred Perez says, the Mega Man series has provided me consistently great music for me, especially Mega Man 2 for the NES.
Nice. That's an excellent call. Listen, I want to point something out. Almost all of these, if you listen to them, are nostalgia-based, right?
Yeah.
Zelda, not the best music for him, but like the person said, but that it brings me back every time. Like, the Super Mario theme in any form brings me back. We're all talking about something that brings us back, okay? Yeah. So Manami Matsumae's Mega Man themes, those bring me back. Those are my nostalgic love themes. They're my personal favorites. But if I want to think as objectively as any human can, the best music in this series for my turn is Mega Man 3.
Okay.
It's really great. Mega Man 2, second best. Mega Man 1, just because of length only, has to be number 3. There's the top 3 in the Mega Man series for me. But Mega Man 3, man, I didn't necessarily think the game was the best of the series, but that music, oh, that music. That was a totally different team, but you should just go to YouTube or whatever, download that. Man, oh, so good. Get a plug-in to play Nintendo ROM music files for your
Winamp.
So good.
Actually, here we go again. Brian Benitez says this is tough, but another vote from Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
Also, Final Fantasy 7 and 8 and Final Fantasy Tactics. Brian Powell says Battletoads.
Battletoads has pretty kicking music, okay, though. It kind of does.
I want to say it has some pretty good
It
pretty
does good have good music.
Travis K again says also the Tetris theme. I was the Tetris champion of high school out of one, but still the champ. Yeah, that one. I think the Tetris theme is just one of those ones that just when you think of it, you automatically can hear it in your brain. Like,
yeah. Well, it was a real song, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was made by Francis von Tetris.
Fuck off.
I've heard that song in every genre imaginable.
Yes. Brandy Dunnigan says, I'm still a sucker for classic Mario Brothers. Remix that and let Kanye talk about how great he is. And Shaggy from Poodle Slam Poetry says, having grown up a big fan of Terry Riley and minimalism, I have to go for the original Pong. That's my jam.
What? That's a Philip Glass answer.
Wow.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so thanks for the answers. We're going to move on to topic two, but that's everyone, Star Mazer, specifically for the music. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
All right, guys, so now it's time for Dad's Corner.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
So I'm a father, you know, do you guys have any kids?
No. I'm 35. Austin is a child.
Yeah. No, dude, that's awesome. You know, I'm usually outnumbered on this category, but normally what we talk about is me growing up. I'm 33 years old. I have two kids. My daughter's 9. My son is going to be 5. And I talk about the challenges raising them and, you know, kind of referencing back to the way I was raised. So right now, you know, I really don't know where the line is crossing between teaching them, you know, personal responsibility and being too much of a hard ass, hence with cleaning their room. Cleaning the room's like pulling teeth, and now I get where my mom was having such stress over it because I thought my fucking room was fine growing up, right? Like, so I'd like to sleep on my clothes. Like, she just didn't get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like a bear hibernating, right?
Yeah, and you smell you.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You're used to your own funk, right? And so now I'm seeing that with my kids. I'm seeing that with my son. He's 5, so he's getting into Mario Kart and Mario things and Nintendo stuff. So his room is just scattered with cars and toys. And I don't know if you guys ever stepped on a Lego before, but that shit is torture.
It's the worst.
Like, I feel the way Jesus felt on the cross, probably, just with a fucking Lego figure. Everything's not awesome.
Jesus Christ didn't have to figure out what set that Lego brick, that cross belonged to, and he was on it.
Yeah, the Romans didn't need instructions when they were putting Jesus on that thing.
Disconnect?
Oh.
Yeah, they're gone.
I think I shouldn't have said a Jesus joke.
Mm-hmm. I think you went too far.
I think I went... They're super Christian, right?
No. No, I was like... Perfect comedic timing. We're both on either side going, oh, shit.
we said the exact same thing.
Yeah, as soon as I was like, no response, and then bloop, 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 I went, oh, fuck, man.
We had the exact opposite. I was like, well, the Romans didn't need to, like, find the set that cross went to. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Like, I think both of us thought either they're very Christian or super Roman. Maybe we should.
Mega Roman.
Those guys are hardcore Romans.
It was incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let me get to the point of what I was saying. So, so the kids I'm noticing are just being lazy. When I looked under my daughter's bed, there was all sorts of shit. We did that as kids, right? We hid shit under our bed. We had hiding spots, which it sometimes was a little bit harder to get to than just putting something in the fucking garbage. Right. So that brings me to my topic question is what's the filthiest you've ever been? And I also want that to correlate to motivational growth, because there was a time when, you know, we lived by ourselves and I was like, why the fuck would it matter if I threw that styrofoam away? Right. Why the, like, I would get takeout all the time. And if you're busy, right, if you have a 9-to-5 job and then you have a nightlife doing comedy, doing film, doing whatever it is you do, taking out the trash isn't really one of your top priorities. Neither is cooking or washing dishes. So in your head, you think to yourself, you know what? Let me just get some takeout and that'll be less dishes for me to do. But it's still some a food container that you have to throw away, so it piles up just as much as dishes do, possibly even worse, because it's not like the enchilada sauce is going to come out of the styrofoam really easily. My answer to the filthiest that I've ever been is I have been a roommate with my buddy Regan here, and Jess, you know, was a squatter for quite some time. The two things that made me realize how filthy we were as just bachelors living in a house together was twofold. There was a stench, Don and Austin, coming from this general living area that we had. Now, where are you guys at? What state?
Washington.
In Seattle. Do you guys have breakfast tacos or breakfast burritos?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So breakfast tacos are a big thing in South Texas, right? And so you get potato and egg, right? It's scrambled eggs with potatoes in it and a tortilla. And they come in wrapped in foil really tight. And we had a what are those beds that those couches that turn into beds? What are those called?
Futon?
Yeah. No.
No.
It was a couch with a pull-out bed.
A pull-out bed, yeah. So you know how deep those fuckers go. We had this stench, this awful stench for the longest time, and we didn't know what it was. And after, I'd say, about a month or two, we had a buddy, you know, who was traveling from out of town, decide to stay. He goes, well, let's do the pull-out bed. Okie dokie. We pull the bed out, and the stench got ridiculously stronger, and it turned out that there was a potato and egg taco.
There's two tacos.
Potato and egg tacos.
No, actually, I want to say it was a potato and egg and like a bacon and egg. So
yeah, so it was rotted meat as well.
Yeah, and egg. Rotten egg and meat.
Yeah. For a while there, we thought it was just fart.
Was the old dog that was living on the couch.
Yeah, because the dog was like, he was literally dying. He was decomposing, but still alive.
No, he wasn't. Okay, yeah.
That's what I say. You could smell the death on him.
Yeah.
It's like an old folks home. The poor dog, right? So we're like, obviously, we're not slobs. It's this fucking dog.
Yeah.
But we were slobs. And to have cooked egg fermenting in foil in linens, because we still had like blankets and shit on this bed. So it made this gigantic, like, kind of grease sweat stain in this just oily, rotted egg. And it made me think, wow, we need to fucking clean up. And our buddy, being a guy just like us, is like, oh, it's going to suck to sleep here. Why was that even still an option to any of us? But he still fucking slept there. On the flip, we never ate McDonald's. We had McDonald's like once. We decided, oh, gross. We're not going to do McDonald's again. When we decided to clean, we cleaned the top of the fridge and we found this McDonald's double cheeseburger. So it was along the same time that we found the rotted tacos. And so we went, this is going to be disgusting. This has been there way longer than these tacos have. Let's open it. And it was pretty much as good and pliable as it was when we bought it, which scared the shit out of all of us.
Yeah.
It smelled the same.
It's the
the preservatives.
Super Size Me thing.
Baffling. That's super baffling.
McDonald's doesn't go bad, man. Yeah. That's what makes it so good.
It's got an extremely large half-life.
Yeah, so the two foods that were there for the longest time, one was ridiculously rotted, penicillin-y, and the other one was... And it tasted all right.
You did not eat that.
No, I totally didn't. No.
No. But the couch on top of the rotten eggs and rotten tacos, it was also a month of farts on top of that. So that was pretty potent.
Which is the title of my spoken word book. A month of farts.
A month of farts?
Yeah.
My answer, I've been plenty filthy plenty times in my life. Like I said, we lived together and we didn't clean a lot and there's piles of dishes. And I don't know, there was a time where I was really stinky in Larry's car that one time on a road trip.
Yeah, man.
Sorry about that.
You sweated ass.
Yeah. Yeah. But for me, the filthiest I've ever been was probably around the age of 10. The summer when I was the age of 10. I don't think I took a bath for maybe an entire month.
And that was before teenage BO, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I did do was go to the neighborhood pool every day.
Yeah.
So in my brain, I was like, hey, it's bleach in there. There's water. I don't need to bathe, right?
White power, man.
Absolutely. The bleach kept me clean. So needless to say, I wasn't the ladies weren't the biggest fan of me that summer. But I did throw the tennis ball around the swimming pool a lot. That was fun. But yeah, the summer of the age of 10, I'm pretty sure I didn't bathe. But thanks to the pool, I think I still smelled like chlorine the whole time. So that's my answer.
Jess?
I think it's a generality when I don't bathe for like 4 days, which is something that doesn't happen often.
3 days, yeah.
3 days, sure, maybe. But 4 days is this boiling point where I'm a very oily person. And so, and I'm bald. And so when I scrub my head, I know I'm really, 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 really dirty when there's a visible line of filth on my head. It just, it's specifically my bald head. And when I'm scrubbing, it's like this, like a
layer.
It's like a eraser nub, rub off. Like,
what?
Because of the oil and the dirt gets so thick. It's like just this thick film of just blech. So needless to say, that doesn't happen.
So the top of your often. Head's like between someone's toes?
No, it's like picture, you know, when you just finished a SAT test or a Scantron test and you erase and it's all that black shit off the eraser.
Yeah.
That's what the top of my head's like after like 4 days.
That's gross.
It is gross, but that's
but
the
I guess
worst.
That answers the question.
Yeah, that's the filthiest I get, but I don't let that happen much often. No
Don,
more.
Don Austin Montville of the New Hampshire Montvilles. I doubt you're very dirty.
Go ahead. I got like a clean problem.
Oh,
like I have like 4 different soap. I'm not saying that I have like I'm superior. No, no. I'm the worst. I hate the feeling of like anything on my body.
So how was filming Motivational Growth if you're basically Mark Summers?
You make someone bum in every film you
see. Yeah, that's the trick. Here's the thing, man. Like, it's super easy for me. Like, I want to make a movie about dark-ass shit that, like, bothers me. Cool, make it dirty puking everywhere. That's the thing. Like, everything I make, people throw something up. And it's because when I get to, like, what grosses me out? Fucking people puking.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, you must love, like, vomit or, like, fluids. I'm like, shit, no. No, I hate it. You just asked me to write some scary shit. That's what I'm going to write. So, yeah, I got, like, a thing. Like, my hair is always, like, closely cropped, and I, like, manscape, and I'm not pretty or anything. It's just I have a really weird thing. I don't, like, have, like, a germophobia thing. I don't care about germs. I just – the feeling of stuff on me is really weird. So my stories are a little less fucking grungy. I went to India to teach some software that I developed in 2006 or 7 or something. That was horrendous because every day it was like 113 degrees and I just sweat constantly. I couldn't go anywhere. Anything. You had to wear like dress clothes. It was just like my nipples kind of rubbed off.
Your nipples rubbed off?
Yeah.
Well, they rubbed till they bled because I was in like a wool business shirt.
That's horrible.
It was the worst. So I have little like blood spots on my fucking shirt.
Oh my god!
And it was like I had rashes on my inner thighs and shit because of the fucking. Because it's 115 fucking degrees, dude, and I'm from Michigan. Man, we don't do that. That's not a thing. It was every day, and it was like, and there's no such thing as air conditioning in India, man.
And you're not allowed to wear basketball shorts to work at all, like
no. And it's funny because like these people go home I was talking earlier on our podcast about how incredible their lives were because, like, they lived in villages with, like, a single source. Not all of them, but a couple of them that I'd known had, like, they lived in a village with a single source of running water and, like, were the happiest and smartest and, like, most tech-savvy people I ever met. And I'm over there, like, struggling because there's no air conditioning. Like, it's the worst thing. Like, we have it so well, we don't know. But so there's that. I think a little bit of sweat related. In Chicago, I shot a movie, and it was during like the hottest summer on record in Chicago, and we were running around the streets shooting guns and stuff. And I just all the pictures of it of me, it looks like I just got out of a pool. Oh. My fat ass is just like sweating everywhere. But so when we originally got the email, though, guys, I'm going to divert a little bit. It says here, give an example of your filthiest. Interpret that as you may.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
However you want to answer it.
So here's the thing that's creeped me out forever. And every time I tell somebody about it, unless I don't know if kids change this, but every time I tell anybody about this, it always creeps them out the same way. I hope this helps. And by no means is this the creepiest thing, I'm sure. I'm sure there's somebody out there who can come up with something way worse. But imagine you've got a beautiful glass. Now, this depends on preference, of course, but you have a beautiful glass of milk.
All right.
In my mind, it's a nice 2%, but some people like whole or whatever.
I'm a 2%er. WIC is 2%. You have to get 2% if you got WIC, dude.
So you've got a wonderful like tall glass of ice cold milk, and it's a hot day. You're drinking on the milk, and it's really good, and it's super refreshing, and it's like that sort of, you know, if you grew up drinking milk, that's like a moment you go back to, and it's like pure, perfectly white and perfectly beautiful, and the glass is white ceramic glass. Oh, and you get about halfway down, and there's just a shit in it. And you see it kind of like the milk, kind of like dappling off the edges of the dark brown poop. And you've been drinking it, and so that, and I think you guys all had the same reaction, which is poop milk is a universal. I've introduced you to the world of poop milk.
Poop milk.
I love it. You know, I think you go through stages when you're drinking poop milk, and I think the initial one is the denial that like maybe this was a cookie that I dropped that somebody else dropped in this milk.
Maybe hope even that it, like if you swish it around, it'll become chocolate milk.
So what do you think is worse, shit milk or grabbing a milk carton and it's orange juice, but you think it's milk? Or shit milk.
No, poop milk wins.
Poop milk wins.
It's poop milk.
I don't know, dude.
Here's the thing. For clarity, I've never actually experienced poop milk.
No, of course not.
I was challenged once to think of the grossest thing, and everybody's like, somebody shitting all over your bed, and then you get into bed. Like, that's not as gross to me as that, like, the dichotomy of, like, pure, crisp,
milk situation.
Yeah.
Is it a hard duke or is it a soft duke? Like, that's...
It's got to be a hard duke.
It's got to be hard.
So you can see the milk splying over it. You know?
So I guess human waste is grosser than the milk from a bovine's tit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's the milk from a bovine's tit with human waste in it.
With poop milk. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to be a hashtag for this episode.
Yeah.
Poop milk. That's my example of the filthiest. That's what I came up with. So I'm sorry that I don't have a me being super filthy.
No, that's perfect.
I drove across Canada and I just camped instead of like staying. I didn't shower or anything. And that was pretty fucked up. But I don't know that was actually as fucked up as some people just generally are. I'm just obsessed with the sort of not feeling like even my own body oils weird me out. So,
oh wow,
that's where I awesome
man.
Awesome.
Like mine's very simple. I actually like I'm more honest. I'm generally a very clean person. I keep things pretty minimal. Like clean up ourselves. Like I don't leave dishes in the sink because that bothers me. But I have the ability to hyper focus on things, and I live with roommates. So that's pretty much my deal.
Right.
And so I have my room, and then there's the rest of the house. I don't really get out of my room very much. So I don't really care what happens in the rest of the house because I'm busy. I'm like doing stuff. I'm working on games. I'm making a thing. Like I don't have to focus about it. And for the past like 2 weeks, our fridge smelled horrible every time you opened it up. Every time you open it up, it was like something fucking died in here. Yeah. It's just awful. But like, I was like, well, it's not, my food doesn't smell bad, so it's good. And I just like would keep like, and I just didn't care about it. And then eventually after like 2 weeks of this, one of my roommates was like, maybe it is my stuff. Cause like I went on a trip for like a week and like some food went bad and I thought I threw it out, but maybe like it spilled or something. So I like washed my section.
Right.
But it didn't help because it wasn't my food. Right. I've got these two roommates that just don't clean up after themselves at all. And there was like this open package of chicken and this lemon. that had been there since before I had went on that trip. So this is like weeks after that trip. And it just like, it was enough out of the way that I could just ignore it.
Right.
And I guess that's terrifying because if I can let that happen and not actually get concerned about it, how far can I go? Like, how much can I wade through before I eventually, like, I can't, like, I get to this point eventually where, like, I have to, like, clean everything, but only if it's, like, in my way.
Right.
Like, if, like, the sink is, like, dirty or something, like, or if the floor that I step on is dirty, I'm like, okay, I need to clean this. Like, the bathroom I use, I have to clean that. But, like, if it's, like, 4 feet to my end, no, it doesn't, I can ignore it. I'm working on the other. So, like, if I pick the wrong roommates, how bad will it get?
Yeah.
That's my sort of. Of the film.
It wasn't Don leaving a glass of shit milk in your fridge.
No, because it would look fine, right? I would never know the shit was there. You have to
it's not poop milk if you discover the poop on your first sip.
Yeah.
You got halfway in.
It's got, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. It would exist forever. Yeah. So I never know.
What you must have like a really clean path to your room, like a very noticeable dig dug path from the fridge to your room.
Wonderful.
What about Facebook? What did they say online?
Facebook answers. Travis K says, my filthiest is when I used to work at a concrete plant. Every day I'd come home covered in dirt, sweat, oil, and cement. It was the dirtiest job, but it was certainly one of the most satisfying. Well, that's nice. Stacy Medina says, roommates that decide it's okay to own 7 cats and 3 dogs all indoors. Clean up after those animals maybe once or twice a week with litter boxes and pee pads in one room across from the kitchen.
That's good.
And never open a window with that door open. Just let the crap build up and fester around, piss and crap all over the floor. Like it's nothing. That's all okay. Vomit. Yeah, that's horrible. Roommates and pets. That's terrible. Tommy Munoz says, one time in middle school, I didn't want to go to school. So while my mom was driving me there, I took a dump in my pants in the car.
Oh my God.
He finishes. He says, that was the worst first period of class ever.
She still made him go to school?
Yeah.
Or does he count that as his, when he became a woman?
No. I don't think it was that first period.
Okay.
Just the first period of class with poop pants.
Jesus.
Gregory Pierce says, all I'll say is, you know it's time to go geocaching when you step into a giant pile of human feces. That's all I'm saying.
Ugh.
Judson Cooper says, taking a crap in someone's backyard. Sorry, Gregory. So he...
There it is.
Samson Portillo says, you know the airplane toilets with that blue stuff? Someone has to empty all that stuff and put fresh blue stuff on there. Sometimes I'm that someone. Sorry, Samson.
Siphon out the blue stuff.
Oh.
And that turns into brown stuff. Yeah.
James Wells says, there was once a time I had to reach down the kitchen drain of week-old food and pull out what seemed to be human feces.
Jeez.
The drain drained, but then I had to throw it out. I went outside to throw it out, but just scatter blasted off all my hand and porch all of myself. I had to shower for days.
Did he clean out the sink that our past podcast guest Chuck Vaines took a big dump in?
Maybe. Alfred Perez says, when the stuff you wear becomes water-resistant with filth... Like that is, you know what? Oh my gosh.
When your clothes get crunchy?
Yeah. Well, I worked at Chili's for a while and I hate wearing jeans. So I only had one pair of jeans that I wore while I worked at Chili's and I'd wash them. And so there'd be like 3 or 4 days of grease buildup on the like lower pant and they were totally water resistant.
Maybe that's the secret. Do you put your jeans in the freezer if you want them to be cleaner?
Yeah, I would also like dry clean them just because that felt weird. But like, it's far less destructive on your jeans. They can last years.
Did you learn that the same place that told you to charge your iPhone 6 in the microwave?
No. This is a thing. Apparently, I mean, who knows? Maybe it was awful. I did for quite a while, and then I started Then I didn't work a high paying job, so I just washed it in the washing machine because I couldn't afford to dry clean them every month.
Right.
And then, yeah, the jeans tore in 2 months. It just got destroyed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm going to start putting my jeans in the freezer.
Yeah. Just freezer them, dude.
Yeah.
I have to wash the jeans, man.
After a while, you got to dry clean them because they don't feel dirty or anything. They just have this it's not a dirty smell, but it's an odd smell.
Yeah.
It's probably the rotted chicken and lemons that are in your freezer.
Yeah, it's just chicken.
I want my pants smelling like Gordon's fish sticks. That just sounds just so weird. Like
vanilla bean ice cream.
No,
you ferment your pants.
What's going to happen is this push-up pop tastes like balls. Sorry, guys. Put my jeans in the freezer. I'm trying it, though.
Shaggy from Puto Slam Poetry says, Europe, 1990, the Dead Tour. The smell still lingers. So he watched the Grateful Dead in Europe in 1990. Hippies.
Yeah.
Hippies will stink.
You can still get high off of looking at one of his shirts.
Can you imagine the smell of weed, patchouli, and B.O.?
Yeah, weed, patchouli, and ball funk.
Oh, God. So, yeah, guys, parenting, fuck it. Regan?
All right. So this is our last topic. It's called Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about things that aren't funny, like science and whatnot. And today I'm talking about a research study that just came out from Ohio State University, Georgia State University, that talks about obesity following the growth of big box retailers such as Costco, Sam's Club, and Walmart. So what they found is that with wherever they're making these big wholesale resellers around those areas, there's also a lot of fast food and convenience food and all these other sort of places that make it very convenient and easy for people to eat. They explained a 37% on the rise of body mass index rate in obesity around super centers, warehouse clubs, and those restaurants in those areas. So it's just an interesting sort of tidbit of information that this study showed about, you know, the convenience and sort of the link to obesity around the country, around these giant super centers and these small little sort of eateries that come along with them, whether they're inside or outside. Which leads me to my topic question, which is real simple. It's what restaurant is the biggest temptation to you when you're trying to eat healthy? For those of you who have known me, you know, I've been trying to lose weight for a very long time. I'm always trying to work out.
Well, you have lost, but you're not trying to. You've lost a lot. How much weight have you lost?
I've lost
something at your heaviest.
A total of 80 pounds since I was at my heaviest.
That's badass.
And I'm still trying to, actually, my goal right now is to become overweight. Because according to my body mass index, I'm still obese. Mm-hmm. So if I need to lose 10 more pounds to just be considered overweight. So that's my goal is to be overweight. And
you're not trying shit, man. You're doing it. Let's not pretend.
Thanks, Don. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Don. Across
the country.
But and that's what kind of brings me into this topic as well, is sometimes it's hard. It's real hard to fight that temptation. And so
hard goddamn work.
So for me, my answer is kind of lame because the biggest temptation to me is buffets in general. Okay. I don't know how big buffets are up where you guys live, but they're around every corner in San Antonio. San Antonio was at one point the fattest city in the United States. Unfortunately, I think we're down to like number 5.
Fuck, we got to change
it. It's all my fault. Damn it. But one thing I can do is I can eat a lot. I can binge the hell eat out of a place. Sadly, I've partaken many a buffet by myself.
Yeah.
I'm not a stranger to eating at a buffet alone, which is like going to the adult video store by yourself. It comes along with the same amount of shame.
And if you touch another person there, it makes you feel gross.
And the thing is like, you can't judge what they're eating based on what you're eating. You're like, you're eating pizza at a Chinese restaurant. It's like being at a porno shop. You can't judge the guy. Like, you're getting midget porn. Come on. We're both here alone. You can't judge each other on that.
It's like a guy who pours gravy over his eclairs and you're like, what a freak.
Yeah.
But then you're there. In the step in meat foot fetish porn.
Yeah. It's my Captain Crunchberry tilapia I eat at the buffets. Anyway, so for me, it's buffets because especially when I'm trying to be healthy, when I'm trying to drop weight, I can just ruin an entire week of work with one sitting at a buffet of binge eating. And it's sad and it's terrible. And like I said, here in San Antonio, the temptation is everywhere, whether it's a Chinese buffet or a Thai buffet or an Indian buffet or a CC's pizza buffet. I know all of them. I know all of their locations, and I know all of their hours, and I know which ones take credit cards. So that's my answer. Guys, chime in.
I was going to say a fast food restaurant, but in all honesty, it has to be Mexican restaurants.
Across the board?
Across the board. Now, we have like a local fast food chain here, guys, called Taco Cabana, and it's like fast food, but real Mexican, but not like Taco Bell. Like, if you guys were ever to come to South Texas again, you know, we want to show you around the city and show you some real good Mexican food. That's what we're known for. But to me, that's a temptation, not only because that's what I was raised on, but because there is no nutritional value. There's not. You have fucking corn tortillas or flour tortillas, which are made with fat, right? You get your main dish, which is a cheese covered gravy fat, right? With rice, which is a carb, and beans that are a protein.
Refried beans
in fat.
These are beans that have been mashed up and added lard, had lard added to them.
So then let me get sour cream, which is the fat of milk. And then avocado,
which is the fattiest, which is the vegetable. Fattiest,
it's a fruit. It's not even a vegetable. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, avocado fat's really good for your heart. It's still fucking fat. Right?
It's actually terrible for you. I don't know why we say that's good. It's not. It's like the worst thing
Yo,
for you.
Yo, it comes from the earth.
Avocado. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Everything, even when you're like, oh, let me in a vegetable here. And what is it? A tomato, which is a fruit. Right? With an onion. Really? How fucking much? Anyway, Mexican food, there's no nutritional. You can't eat healthy Mexican food.
It's healthy for the heart, as in it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, fuck y'all.
But studies show.
You know what? Real quick, Don, you mentioned earlier that people were sending you horchata. And then when you talked about shit milk, that's what I thought about was horchata.
Horchata's delicious.
Horchata's good.
Fuck you guys. Horchata's fucking
it's
gross.
It's cinnamony rice milk. Yeah. Dude. It's delicious.
You know what horchata tastes like to me? When your mom made rice, right? And she put butter and, you know, maybe some spices in it and then let the water evaporate. If you fucking squeezed out...
You drank... Yeah, because that's what it is.
You drank the rice water from the bottom of her pot, and you're like, you added cinnamon in it.
Well, that's how you make
exactly
it.
Exactly what it is.
And it's fucking...
That's how you make horchata.
It is. It's gross.
I can drink it.
Or your mom was eating rice, and she spit it out. She drank milk with a mouthful of rice and goes, oh, this is fucking gross. Taste it. And you drink up your monster.
Now imagine that. You're about halfway through.
And there's a big old mom duke. Like, yeah, how about that? It's not just shit. It's your mother's shit.
It's a mom duke.
You know where it came from.
Oh, God.
That makes it worse.
Doesn't it?
Oh, God damn it. For me, like when I rubber band from eating healthy to not eating healthy, I feel that there's always some healthy way to twist fast food around, like Mexican food, right? You can get chicken fajitas with like a chicken fajita salad and just eat lettuce, tomato, and chicken. So it's like you don't have to have the beans. You don't have to have the rice. If you went to McDonald's or Jack in the Box or some fast food, you can have chicken sandwich and sub the fries out with apple slices or some shit like that. But the unavoidable gloom and doom is gonna have to be pizza, and then specifically lately, it's I passed by it and I'm like, you know, it'd be really good is this place called Mars Pizza. It's not a chain. It's an actual like one standalone restaurant here, local restaurant, and that pizza is fucking deadly. And not only that, what makes it hard is that I don't just want the pizza. I gotta have the sides, which is like fried pickles and like macaroni and cheese bites and stromboli and a bunch of shit.
Those aren't sides.
I know, but they turn into sides.
You don't get like a side stromboli.
Well, I do. Here's what happens. I go, well, instead of getting a large pizza, I'll get the small pizza.
Side pizza?
The 14-inch pizza with a side stromboli.
The side pizza. I love that.
Yeah, it's a side pizza.
And what would you like to drink? Marinara sauce.
20 ounces of marinara sauce.
So that place is like, I can find a healthy option at almost every place if I'm in the zone. If I'm so inclined, if I'm in the zone to eat healthy. But I pass by Mars Pizza on the way home, and that's just that's the trap.
Place holds it down though. They're the Chachos of Italian food.
Yeah, that their food is dynamite. It's the bomb. Yeah.
And so. Don and Austin, Chachos is a place here in San Antonio that they put so much cheese. It's a Mexican restaurant that puts more cheese on anything than any restaurant ever in the history of Everness. Like they put so much cheese on everything, and Mars puts a ton of cheese on their stuff. I love it.
Dynamite.
What about you guys, Don, Austin?
Austin, go for it. For me, I can never resist dicks.
Excuse me?
Sometimes you gotta eat a bag of dicks.
You just get a whole bag of dicks.
A whole
bag. It's the only place where I can afford to pay for everyone. So dicks, for all of you that have not been in Seattle, it's a burger chain. It's like, you know, In-N-Out or something like that, where you can get these cheap burgers. It's like $1 a burger. You can get fries for like $1. Get shakes for like $1.25 or something like that. You can only pay in cash.
Nice.
And like there's two of them in the city. There's a nice one, but I've never been to that one. I've been to the shitty one where it's on this strip in Broadway. There's always like four or five beggars out there because they know you have cash. Ooh. You can't pull the I don't have cash yet. You actually have to tell them just no, I'm not going to give you money. I'm going to spend on this burger and eat it. They don't have a sit down area. There's just this like metal like plate in between the two pillars that hold up this drive in looking place, but it's really like grody looking. But it's super fast. You get in there and they're just pumping out, you know, bags of dicks constantly. it's cheap, it's fast, and it's like always open. Yeah,
are they slider style or are they kind of like actually substantial burgers?
They are fast food, but it's like I don't know if you have like an In-N-Out where it's like okay, they're like sort of like natural. Ingredients, I guess, like they cut the fries themselves there, but it's still like just super fast cook, like it's just greasy and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's not good for you. It's probably better than like other fast food restaurants, but right. It's still fast food.
Yeah, absolutely. So your biggest temptation, dicks. What about you, Don?
He loves the dicks. Mine is completely from a fast food perspective, not from a dicks perspective. It is completely the opposite. In fact, it's not fast food at all. For me. My favorite single meal, not single food, but favorite single meal is chashu ramen, which is the actual Japanese chashu ramen, which is pork and pork belly and pork fat ramen. And if you go to a nice place, there's a couple places in Vancouver, which is a couple hours from here, Vancouver, British Columbia, that have what I consider to be on earth the best ramen I've ever had. And you get to order it with a richness level. And there's like light, medium, and heavy richness.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And you got to get like fucking heavy richness. And what richness level means is it's, I don't know, the nearly inhuman way to say it's just you're drinking pork fat.
Yeah.
There's a whole shit ton of pork fat. Like, I went there with somebody once. And this person was like, so what are these, like chunks of tofu? I'm like, no, that's like just pork fat.
Pork fat.
And it's like cloudy, dark, and it's so good. Like the human brain just is like built for this. Like it's the reason fast food works. It's like salty, fatty, oily, awesome. And you eat it and it's full of these noodles. And you just fucking just, you get it with extra pork and extra noodles and extra fucking fat. You just like eat the shit out of it. And one of those is something like 16,000 calories or something. It's ridiculous. And I would fucking eat it every day if I could. So luckily, that's like 3.5 hours away. But there was a time, man. There was a time when I was like on a ramen tear. And I was 60 pounds heavier than I am today. I was just fucking like ramen it up. I don't mean the shit you get at the store for 92 cents. I'm talking about like actual like big ass bowl. They give you two in the Stanley fucking cup. Like that's, you eat it out of like a bowl the size of 18 human skulls all duct taped together.
Now imagine eating a giant bowl of ramen.
God damn it. And halfway through.
there's a big old hunk of dicks.
So check out, dude, if you get the full richness and you've not eaten it before, you'll throw up. it'll make you puke. Your stomach's like, this isn't something a human being. You're basically drinking like car tires.
Delicious.
That's why that sumo wrestler food is what that is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So on the other end of the spectrum, Taco Bell will fuck me up every time. I'll go there. I'll drive by. I'll be like, fuck man. Okay, I need 18 things of Taco Bell. And then you eat all 18 things and you feel like you're going to die and you feel terrible about it. Like your body feels bad, but inside, like your heart feels bad.
Yeah.
Not like your physical heart, but like the thing, like like you know you fucked up.
Yeah, that's when I know I've hit rock bottom. Is when I've that's how I know I'm really stressed out at that point in my life, and I'm like, that's when I just know I need help. Is when I've bought a Fritos burrito from Taco Bell,
the Taco Bell strain,
and that's when you shit milk, like shit a verb, like you shit milk.
Actually, shit milk. There was a time recently. This is an independent time, but very recently I got super depressed over something, and I've been kind of not eating a lot of meat recently. It's not like a life choice or anything. It's just like happened to like hash out that way. But I something happened. I got super depressed, and I went to this local store. Like I was alone. It was dark, and it was fucking probably 2 a.m. or something. I went to this local store. I fucking bought a 3-pound pork shoulder. I bought a corned beef, like a whole.
Yeah,
corned beef.
I like where this is going.
I'm done, motherfucker. I ordered by inches. I bought 3 inches of fucking prime rib. So 3-inch thick fucking, like a 3-inch thick slab of prime rib. I bought a half a fried chicken. Like this is my like rock bottom moment. I came back. I didn't even put that shit on plates. I put the pork shoulder in a slow cooker with the knowledge that it would take me about 3 hours to get through the fucking roast, right?
Yes!
I ate the chicken, and I got to the end of the chicken where there was nothing but the grease, and I'm sucking grease off of bones. And then I went to the prime rib. The whole time the corned beef is boiling, and the fucking pork shoulder is like cooking, and I'm hating every moment.
Everything oh my God! I'm getting hard right now.
I've got like a popcorn bowl, like one of those big bowls you put full of like Thai style meatballs, like the kind that's made out of like ground up bones and shit. I'm eating those between every bite.
Had side meatballs.
I finally get to the fucking pork shoulder. It's been like 4 hours and the pork shoulder's done, and I've watched 19 episodes of like fucking Cold Case Files or some dumb shit. Like I'm crying and eating this fucking. I want to throw up. Every time I swallow it hurts in my like it hurts down by my dick.
I've been there.
And I get to the pork shoulder and I just start eating it out of the fucking crock pot. The pork shoulder, and then I get this moment. I have an epiphany. I put the fucking the oven mitts on. I grab the crock pot and I walk over to the sink. I just dump the pork shoulder in, and I turn on the fucking
garbage
disposal. And for about 20 minutes, I'm crying and feeding the garbage disposal this pork shoulder. It was the worst.
Now, did you put it? Did you put it in the garbage disposal because it wouldn't fit in a food processor and it just would mince it easier?
I'm gonna put it in my fucking mouth otherwise. Like, I couldn't stand life
anymore. The pork shoulder. I was waiting for that.
I ate half of it. I ate half pound of pork shoulder first.
Oh, God. That's so funny.
So that was one of those breaking. It was a supremely stressful moment. Like, everything was on the brink at that one moment, which happens. We're artists for a living. Austin and I, we make art, right? So sometimes it's cool. Sometimes you can eat and have rent and everything. And sometimes some dude is like, no, man, I'm going to turn your whole company inside out. And there was just one fucking moment, and just for this, I was left alone, and my body was just like, nope, you're going to feel what it's like to die.
I'm going to eat every farm animal.
Oh, God almighty, that's beautiful.
If there were lambs and shit, I would take one home on a leash at that point. Like, it was the worst.
You ate
the
like,
worst.
You ate like an ogre.
And it was this weird like defense. Like your body is like, I'm feeling stress, and your body's primitive, right? Like it's from back in like Paleolithic times. It doesn't get it. It thinks, oh, must be like if you're feeling like you're going to die, must be because you need to eat some shit.
Yeah.
So it makes you like eat everything and you just fucking go crazy. But yeah, no, I had that problem. It was rough. Everything's great now. But that was a rough like 9 hours because I didn't. We talked about the start. We didn't talk about the aftermath. I hadn't eaten like any like a full meal of meat for like I don't know 8 months.
Oh, okay.
The body is not ready. It was the worst.
God,
it was insane.
Beautiful,
yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. Online Facebook answers. Ross Carter says gas station snacks.
That's an awful addiction.
It's not an addiction. Yeah. It's just what he can't. It's temptation.
Taquitos.
Michelle Crawford says Chris Madrid's and those damn macho nachos. That's a local eatery you have that has some good nachos. Ryan Timothy Bray says Domino's and this fine redhead I know named Wendy.
Canada's got Wendy's.
Brandon Raylor says L&L Hawaiian barbecue.
right.
Temptation food. Stacy Medina says, honestly, anything that isn't healthy. If I had to choose one thing, wings. Wings on a diet equals heaven on earth. Travis K says, Whataburger.
When you come back to San Antonio, guys, y'all got to, if you like dicks, you'll love Whataburger.
It's
actually, I passed through somewhere in North Texas. I don't remember. I was driving and I saw the sign for Whataburger, stopped for it. I was standing in line for the Whataburger I ordered and I received it and I took two steps and I was face to face with like a small family of roaches.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh man, I think I'm gonna put this away. I threw it away.
Oh, damn it, y'all. You went to a bad one. That's a rarity, man. Whataburgers are usually a lot better than that. But
you're gonna have to show me then, because I was like, nope, fuck this place, fuck Texas, I'm leaving.
Boo. Well, I'm sorry, that sucks.
Texas had a great time, so that's not it. But I think I thought it was the Whataburger. You're telling me that's not the case.
Oh no, Whataburger. Even in a shitty neighborhood's good. But I mean, if you're in North Texas and you saw the family of roaches. Yeah.
You made a good judgment call by throwing it away.
Yeah.
Travis K says, Whataburger hands down, trying to start a diet now, but even at this moment, the delicious Chop House Cheddar Burger, A1 Thick and Hearty Burger, and Sausage Egg and Cheese Biscuits are calling me.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
Justin Cooper says, all of them. Gregory Pierce says, In-N-Out Burger is a nightmare when you're trying to stay fit in California. There's basically one on every corner, and you cannot resist the temptation. # secret sauce, # basically mayonnaise, # still irresistible. Samson Portillo says, what is trying to eat healthy?
That guy's got my vote.
Yes. James Wells says, every time I go home, I have to tell myself, don't make those bacon jalapeno poppers. You'll eat all of them in one serving and then crap yourself at work. That's what I did today.
He crapped himself at work?
Probably.
All right.
Alfred Perez says, with cheap food and ice cream stuffs, it has to be McDonald's. Price always wins out over health. Yeah. Yep. That's why we're all obese. Cheap food. Brandy Dunnigan says, anything with a light on after midnight.
Like a stranger's hotel room.
Damn. Yeah. Dicks. Brandy Dunnigan, a.k.a. Handy Tugigan.
Very nice.
Shaggy from Puto Slam Poetry says, being a vegetarian, it has to be Taco Cabana, quesadilla with pico, chips and queso, and 5 pounds of freebies from the salsa bar.
That's right.
So yeah, Taco Cabana. 24 hours, man. That's what kills you. That does it with my segment and eating late, eating lots of food. That's not funny.
That's not funny. All right. So Don and Austin, thank you so much for joining us. Now at the, being the first time on the Public Access Podcast, need to make you aware that this was an educational program. At the end, and we purposely put you on the spot here like we do all of our guests and ourselves. We're going to ask you, what did you come to know? What made you come to learn something during this podcast? So ponder that for a second, and we're gonna do the roundtable through us. Now, Jess, what did you come to know?
I have come to know of a magical place where I can get a bag of dicks, and I need to add that to my life experience. Have a bag of dicks to go. It sounds wholesome. It sounds genuine. It sounds like something that would warm my heart. Yeah. Nice old bag of dicks. I would love that. I've come to know of a place that I can get that.
What I came to know is that in India, your nipples bleed. And I didn't know that. I have a lot of friends. I have rupees in my pocket right now. And so if anything, I learned that India makes your nipples bleed. And there's dairy products out there that may or may not contain human shit.
I came to know that Don described the perfect Sunday for me. if I was to be asked, describe your perfect Sunday, it would just be a whole sort of motley crew of meats in different bowls and different eating items. Oh, that's just pork shoulders and Vietnamese meatballs.
One man's depression is one man's enlightenment.
Absolutely. You need to write that down. Like, write down what you did and please send me that in a message so I can recreate it.
So if you're going to do motivational growth too, with another person, you know, I think you can live that, Regan. Like, just solitude and meat.
I'm cool.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be depressed. I don't think you'd end like Ian Fowler. I think it would be like a motivational growth too would have a happy ending.
Yeah. Just instead of the cold case files or whatever, it would be just Parks and Rec.
Don, Austin, what did you come to know?
I've learned that if I take a misstep in a children's room, I can feel a pain worse than crucifixion.
That's Ooh. Right.
So I will be terrified around children now.
You can empathize with Christ is what you can.
You've walked in his footsteps. Or if you do step on a...
Yeah, that's right. You
know, you've walked in his footsteps.
Exactly. You'll get stigmata in a kid's room.
I don't know. I don't think I can handle that. That's a heavy cross to bear. Literally, right? God damn.
Nice. I like it. So did I just... now you're not having kids?
Terrified.
And Don?
I have learned that... This is not as funny. I'm sorry, guys, but I have learned that there are kindred spirits in Texas.
There are,
that
sir. Aww.
Who also liked the hell out of my movie, which is really incredible. So yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Well, no, thank you for making that movie, and thank you so much for joining us. And once again, where can people follow Stargazer and even follow you guys on social media?
I don't even know what the fuck a Stargazer
is. Yeah, what the hell is that?
Well, Starmazer, sorry.
Check that out. You can go to starmazer.com. That's StarmazerE.com. You can follow us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/starmazer, or just whatever @StarMazer if you're like young and hip and cool and awesome and getting laid. You can also go to Tumblr. We're on Tumblr, starmazer.tumblr.com. You can go to YouTube. We have an awesome giant YouTube list full of awesome videos. Just do a search for StarMazer. Twitch.tv. We've got StarMazer.tv or TwitchTV.StarMazer. That's a thing, too. We're doing right now during the – I guess tomorrow's the last one, but we've been doing daily updates on Twitch. We'll be doing multiple time a week updates from now on Twitch. So it's awesome. StarMazer is available for you to find. We have a Vine account. You can watch us on Vine if we're even younger and probably also not getting laid. all kinds of stuff. Is StarMazer, StarMazer. Our Kickstarter is probably over by the time you heard this, but that's cool. We succeeded, made all kinds of money. I have a yacht now. It's the best yacht. You go to StarMazer.com, so you can give us more money because, you know, two yachts better than one yacht. So, yeah, check us out.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Do you want to do sign-offs after?
I'll do them after. Yeah.
All right, guys. So, again, Don... Thacker, thank you so much for joining us. Austin Montville, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. We couldn't have asked for anything better. And once the movie is done with post-production and you would like a Texas forum to push that, please let us know and we'd be more than happy to have you back on as guests if you guys are willing.
Got it. Thank you.
Well, as per usual, thanks for listening to so much on oneofus.net. We highly appreciate it. Thank you ever so much for answering our questions on our Happy Campers Facebook page. It's so awesome. And you can follow us at ComediaGogo, #public access, and on our Facebook group. Go to ComediaAgogo.com to get all kinds of neat stuff like our movie Blood Cousins and Larry and Regan's Big Red and Barbacoa. And coming in April 22nd through the 26th, we have our awesome fiesta show, A Night in Pinche San Antonio. All Woo! The details will be hitting your face soon.
And guys, I have a few show dates here. If you are in the Paris, Texas area, February 27th, I'm going to be at the LMAO Comedy Club. Guys, if you're in New Mexico, I will be there at the Santa Ana Casino March 3rd and 4th. But here in San Antonio, Texas, guys, March 6th, I will be at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club for a big showcase there. And March 11th through 17th, I will be featuring at the River Center Comedy Club, guys. So please support that. And speaking of Mars Pizza, Jess, March 20th, I'm going to be headlining at Mars Pizza.
Yeah, fucking hello, macaroni bites.
March 20th.
Yeah, dude, my dad will be there.
Well, hell.
Because he loves that place.
Well, then I will be there performing, and so will my Uncle Jesus. And March 21st at Trips Ultimate Comedy Club, guys. Be there or be squared. Guys, we appreciate you listening to Public Access. Please share the podcast. Please answer our questions on Public Access Happy Campers group, like Jess said. And thank you so much for listening, and everyone here in Texas and abroad. And thanks again to our guests, Don and Austin.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll happily fuck you later.
Here comes the fun. Here comes the fun.